How does Christianity compare with Islam, Mormonism, skepticism, Buddhism, Scientology, Jehovah's Witnesses, and other world religions? You'll find answers in the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for January, The Christian Difference. It's published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040. Or learn more about The Christian Difference at issuesetc.org. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for January, The Christian Difference. Him in his temple now, behold him. It speaks there of the long expected Lord. Why is it that we often read the New Testament as though no one were expecting Jesus to arrive, as though it was completely unexpected, especially when we have texts like Luke chapter 2, where Simeon is expecting him and Anna is expecting him, and then Anna goes out and she speaks to all that she knew who were expecting the consolation, the salvation, and the Savior of the world. There were people waiting for the Messiah, not only those with the wrong-headed notion about what that Messiah would be. There was a faithful remnant. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in live on this Tuesday afternoon, the 8th of January. We're going to be teaching a Sunday school lesson on the presentation of Jesus in Luke chapter 2 with Pastor Tom Baker. Then we'll talk law, lawyers, and evidence in John's Gospel with Craig Parton of the International Academy of Apologetics, Evangelism, and Human Rights. Pastor Tom Baker is host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. Tom, welcome back.
Thank you.
We often get the impression that when the Messiah appears, he kind of appears to Israel unexpectedly. But what does this text from Luke chapter 2 tell us about those who were rightly expecting the Messiah?
As the Bible says, when the fullness of time came, God sent his Son born into the world. So this was not unexpected from God's point of view. The time was correct. And therefore, what we're looking at with his presentation at the temple is part of the mission that Jesus was sent on in order to save the world from their sins. And part of that mission is that he would still be following the guidelines as found in the Old Testament. In fact, this is 40 days after the birth of Jesus. And at 8 days, which of course occurred 32 days before this, he was circumcised. And I began a sermon once asking about this time that Jesus came to the temple and Simon, and Anna were there. And the question was this when he was circumcised? And a lot of people thought it was. But the real reason they came to the temple was twofold. Number one, there was a consecration of the firstborn. This is found in Exodus chapter 13, verses 1 through 2 and 12 to 15. God says, "You shall set apart to the Lord all that first opens the womb. And when in time to come your son asks you, 'What does this mean?' you shall say to him, 'By a strong hand the Lord brought us out of Egypt from the house of slavery. When Pharaoh stubbornly refused to let us go, the Lord killed all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both the firstborn of man and the firstborn of animals. Therefore, I sacrifice to the Lord all the males that first opened the womb, but all the firstborn of my sons I redeem.'" So this was part of the rite that Mary and Joseph had done when they came to the temple, and that was to redeem Jesus and, in a sense, to give him over to the Lord. But there was something else going on here when it talks about the purification rite. That really has nothing to do with Jesus. That's found in Leviticus chapter 12, and it is involving Mary. If a woman conceives and bears a male child, she'll be unclean 7 days. And on the 8th day, the flesh of his foreskin shall be circumcised. That's what happened to Jesus. Then verse 4 of Leviticus 12. A lot of people don't know this. Then she shall continue for 33 days in the blood of her purifying. She shall not touch anything holy, nor come into the sanctuary until the days of purifying are completed. And then when she comes, she shall bring to the priest at the entrance of the tent of meeting either a lamb a year old or a pigeon and turtle doves if they are poor, and he shall offer it before the Lord and make atonement for her. Then she shall be clean from the flow of blood. And it's very clear from the scripture that this is what they did. In verse 24 of Luke 2, they offered a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. And this was to indicate that at this time Mary and Joseph were poor. And the Bible even says that Jesus became poor so that we might become rich. And it's after this that we have the conversations of Simeon and Anna.
What were the kind of average expectations of the Messiah, and how does that contrast with those of these two, Simeon and Anna?
Yes. Many people thought that the Messiah was coming actually to restore Israel to its former grandeur, as well as to get rid of the Romans. But Simeon, he, through the power of the Holy Spirit, he first knew that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, that's verse 27, then Simeon said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word, because he had been promised he would not die until he saw the Messiah. For my eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory to your people Israel. So immediately Simeon understood by the power of the Holy Spirit that this was the fulfillment of all the Old Testament promises in regard to the Messiah, and that Jesus was the Messiah. I once had finished an adult instruction class, and this was early in my ministry, and one of the new members of our church was coming forward to the Lord's Supper, Todd, and she began to cry as she received the Lord's Supper. Well, afterwards, I asked her if something was wrong, could I be of help? And she told me that I had said in the sermon that when we come to the Lord's Supper, we end by singing Simeon's song, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace. And I said, that's because while Simeon held the baby Jesus in his arms, we receive in our mouth the very body and blood of Jesus. And she had never realized that. By the way, after that, I began to bring in the liturgy a lot more in my adult instruction to help people understand that. And in our liturgy today, we sing this Simeon song, Lord, now let your servant depart in peace. It's, of course, the one done at the end of the Lord's Supper. It's also done during a service called Compline. That's the last service in the evening when we go to sleep, knowing that God is with us. And the third way it's used in the liturgy is at a funeral. because then we have the comfort that, particularly with my family, many of them were Gentiles. I'm not related to Jews as far as I know. And yet Simeon said something that Paul later says wasn't really that well known, that the Messiah would be coming also to bring Gentiles into the family of God. As that one passage says, there's now no distinction between male or female, Jew or Gentile, and slave or free. So this all came to Simeon, as we recognize, by a special message from the Holy Spirit. Whether an angel told him or he dreamed it, that is not made known. But we know that did occur in that day, in light of what Joseph had heard from the angel about the pregnancy of Mary, and others also through the angel Gabriel, Zechariah, for example, in light of John the Baptizer's birth. So this was a totally different child than normally is brought to the temple. And this would have occurred in the temple's court of women, because both Mary and Anna were there, and they would not be permitted at that time into the main court of the temple, where only bar mitzvah men were. They were with the women, the children, the Gentiles who had come to faith, as well as people who were ill.
And it says that Anna went about talking and telling this to all who were awaiting the redemption of Israel. So we get the impression here that it is not merely these two who have a right faith in expecting the Messiah.
This is a very important point to make. I hear again and again of how Jesus converted a lot of people. He actually converted very few. The disciples converted far more after Pentecost. It depends what you mean by conversion. I consider conversion to be something where you go from an unbeliever to a believer. And many believers were there in Israel awaiting the coming of the Messiah. What Jesus' miracles did, and we're in the season of Epiphany, where we're going to be stressing that, is not convincing unbelievers that he was the Savior, but convincing believers who were looking for the Savior. Wow, he's the one that's fulfilled the promises concerning the Messiah. For example, when the disciples of John the Baptizer are sent to Jesus, "Are you the one we're looking for, or someone else?" Jesus says, "Go back to John and tell him, the blind see, the deaf hear, the mute speak, the lame walk, the dead are raised." And of course, these are promises, prophecies from the Old Testament as to how to discover the revelation of the true Messiah. So this is very important. Also, I had a sermon recently that God no longer works in this way. If you hear a pastor say, "Folks, I had a dream from an angel last night, and he tells us to move our church from 3rd and Main out to the suburbs," don't listen to him, because the Bible is God's closed message. We have more than enough to learn there. And as the book of Revelation says, anybody who adds or subtracts to that might be subtracted from the kingdom of heaven. So there is no new revelation that the Holy Spirit is giving, and no one is getting a revelation like Simeon and Anna did through the power of the Holy Spirit, or the prophets and the apostles as they were moved by the Holy Spirit to write the scriptures clearly. And that helps lay people to keep checking that whatever a pastor says from the pulpit, he can back up with a verse from Scripture.
Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson on the presentation of Jesus in Luke chapter 22. When we come back, we'll talk about that sacrifice made at the temple for Jesus, foreshadowing his own sacrifice.
It was Jesus Christ our Lord. Now pay close attention, little children. It's somebody you ought to know. Yeah, it's all about a man that walked on earth nearly 2,000 years ago.
Several Issues Etc. regular guests are candidates for leadership positions in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Every LCMS congregation has received nomination forms for the president and vice presidents of the Synod. Please encourage your pastor and congregational leaders to fill out and return these nomination forms before February 20th of 2019. Learn more at issuesetc.org/nominations. issuesetc.org/nominations.
Do you need a home mortgage, car, or student loan in 2019? Check out Lutheran Federal Credit Union. During January, when you open a Lutheran FCU loan to meet your financial needs, or when you use your Lutheran FCU credit card for a qualifying amount of purchases, Lutheran FCU will give you cash back and give that same amount of money to their Ministry of the Month, Christ Community International. Learn more at LutheranFCU.org. Lutheran FCU, good for you, good for the church. LutheranFCU.org.
Sanctifying your child rearing with the Word of God. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Relevant worship isn't about trying to look and act like the rest of the world to appeal to the culture around us, but relevant worship is about Christ. Hope Lutheran Church of Birmingham brings you truly relevant worship, where sinners gather to hear God's word and receive his gifts of forgiveness and peace. Visit us online at hopebham.org. That's hopebham.org. Or give us a call at 205-956-1930. We'll see you Sunday.
Remember when education was about the fundamental skills of reading, writing, and arithmetic? And about reading great literature and studying history to give our kids a model for what it is to be a good person? Memoria Press's Classical Christian Curriculum offers that very model for your homeschool. Get $5 off your next order by using the coupon code LPR9. For more information, go to memoriapress.com. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson on the presentation of Jesus in Luke chapter 2. Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. He's host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. He had mentioned there the words of Simeon, a light to the nations or a light to the Gentiles. You'll find feature articles on witness, missions, and evangelism in the latest issue of the Lutheran Witness magazine. Check it out at cph.org/witness. Interpreting the contemporary world from a Lutheran perspective, the Lutheran Witness magazine, cph.org/witness. Tom, what does this mean, the sacrifice of Jesus here early in this account, as a foreshadowing of Christ's sacrifice at the cross?
It certainly is, and Simeon recognized that, because in verse 35, well, I'll start with 34, he's talking to Mary. Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel. By the way, there's a verse in 1 Peter that says precisely that, that when Jesus makes himself clear as to who he is, there will be many who will not believe it, and they will fall, but many will believe it, and they will rise to new life. And he also said, a sword will pierce through your own soul also. And that's talking about the crucifixion. So we've got two examples of the fact that Jesus is going to be born in order to die. The first one is the wise men, because frankincense and myrrh are perfumes, and myrrh particularly is used for burial. So in a sense, the wise men brought embalming fluid to the baby Jesus. And then Simeon here makes very clear that a sword will pierce through your own soul also. This shows the kind of redemption and salvation that is going to occur through this Jesus. The whole Bible is about this. It even begins in Genesis 3:15, where when Adam and Eve realize they're naked and attempt to put some leaves together that don't last long, God dresses them in a coat of a slaughtered animal. And time again, we see that necessity for blood in order for people to be saved. Like at the Passover, they put the blood over the doorway and down the lintels so that what? The angel of death passes over. And that's why John the Baptizer, inspired by the Holy Spirit from his birth, looks to Jesus and says, "Behold, the Lamb of God who has come to take away the sins of the world," which he does by being forsaken by the Father as he has received the designation from the Father of being sin for us. Even though he never sinned, he received that designation in the same way that we receive the designation of being righteous by the Father, even though we never do a righteous, sinless, good work this side of heaven. But it is God's declaration. We are as righteous as was Abraham, who was not righteous because of his many good works, but instead because he believed the promise that elderly Sarah would have a child who would be a blessing to many nations, and that was referring to Isaac. So both the Old Testament believers and the New Testament believers, they were saved by faith alone in the promises of the gospel heard in both testaments. And therefore, the only difference is the Old Testament believers were not aware of how Jesus would be and precisely how that death would occur. When David wrote in Psalm 22, "Pierced in hands and feet," I don't believe he realized that was a crucifixion, because that hadn't been invented yet at the time that he wrote Psalm 22. But he was inspired by the Holy Spirit to write that, as Isaiah was, "By his stripes we are healed." So what we find here, this is a great opportunity for a sermon to indicate to people the true purpose of why Jesus became incarnate. I mean, after he was born, you expected Luke to tell us what were his first sounds, how did he behave. But as soon as he's born, Luke immediately goes to the field where shepherds are watching their flocks by night for one purpose, to tell us the purpose of why Jesus was born, as the angels sang to the shepherds, angels doing the first Christmas sermon, and they did the first Easter sermon, and they did the first Ascension sermon.
Two final questions for you. What does this mean, this child is appointed for the falling and rising of many in Israel?
Many in Israel really felt that they were saved by their works. That was called a new religion called Judaism. Remember the Pharisee, "Thank God I'm not like that tax collector," in contrast to the tax collector who said, "Be merciful to me, I'm a sinful being." Jesus says the tax collector goes down justified, but the Pharisee does not. And therefore, there was a rising to God of the tax collector as there was a falling of the Pharisees to hell. And we see that at the cross of Christ, where to the believing thief who asked, "Remember me," Jesus said, "Today you will be with me in paradise," which of course meant that Jesus' spirit returned to the Father at his death. His body went in the grave, and so also did the spirit of the believing thief. While the unbelieving thief, he fell from God's grace because of his own choice, and therefore was not saved.
Finally, what's the simple long gospel for the Sunday school children in this story of the presentation of Jesus?
The simple long gospel is, We often think, unfortunately, like Pharisees, that we do things that makes God impressed with us. And therefore, you can even ask some Lutherans, if you die tonight, will you be saved? Well, I go to church. I give offerings. I. Forget the I's. Always go to the J, Jesus, because Jesus died on the cross for me. So the law and gospel that Simeon and Anna really clarify and sound forth is this child is going to be our Savior, and we are unable to save ourselves. We are saved by grace through faith alone on account of Jesus Christ.
Pastor Tom Baker is host of the radio program called Law and Gospel. Tom, thank you very much for your time.
And thank you.
On the other side of the break, Craig Parton of the International Academy of Apologetics, Evangelism, and Human Rights will join us. We're going to talk law, lawyers, and evidence in John's Gospel.
Church music directors can find a new community at Prelude to Postlude, the CPH music blog. Learn helpful tips for managing music ministry and involving members, and meet the composers of some of your favorite new pieces. Plus, find suggestions of music to use for special services, and preview some of our newest works with free samples you can use at your church. Visit us at preludetopostlude.org.
Did you know that Luther Academy has been providing continuing education for confessional Lutheran pastors and laypeople worldwide for more than 20 years? Luther Academy publishes Logia, the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatics series, and Luther Digest. Find out more about Luther Academy and sign up to receive their free email newsletter at lutheracademy.com, lutheracademy.com, and like them on Facebook, facebook.com/Luther Academy.
Did you make a New Year's resolution to get in shape this year? You'll find quality personal training and qualified instruction at Performance Fitness at Edwardsville. You can even work out for a full 30 days before making a commitment to join. Visit them on the web at performancefitness618.com or call 618-692-5063. Performance Fitness can help you keep your New Year's resolution. Performance Fitness in Edwardsville. Performancefitness618.com.
The Lord is our shepherd, and we are the people of his pasture. Why then do we still suffer in this life? Disease, loneliness, persecution. I'm Katie Schuerman, and I'm collaborating with Cheryl Swope, Molly Hemingway, and a host of literary friends in He Restores My Soul, a book that takes an honest look at hardship and heartache in light of God's promises found in his word. He Restores My Soul is now available at emmanuelpress.us, emmanuelpress.us.
Educating a new generation of Lutherans. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Hey, Todd, what have our listeners noticed first when visiting the LPR studios?
Definitely the small size and the dirt.
Well, not anymore. Thanks to our friends at the Cleaning Authority, they've turned this man cave into a space that meets even our wives' approval.
Whether it's our office or your home, the Cleaning Authority is your cleaning service provider in the St. Louis area.
To schedule a free estimate or to find out more, visit thecleaningauthority.com, thecleaningauthority.com.
An average of 20 military veterans kill themselves every day. Project Operation Barnabas is a network of LCMS congregations who reach out to veterans and their congregations and their communities with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Operation Barnabas is a program of LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces. Find out more at lcms.org/armedforces. Serving those who serve. LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces, lcms.org/armedforces.